I'm Bill Thompson with Ion Books. Until World War II, the U.S. did not routinely spy on other countries. As a nation, we didn't even have basic espionage skills. But all that changed overnight with creation of the OSS, the Office of Special Services, forerunner of today's CIA. Journalist Patrick O'Donnell explores the birth of the OSS and the people who made it what it was in his book, Operatives, Spies, and Saboteurs.
This is an agent-level history of OSS.
The first of its kind, is it?
It is the first of its kind. It's not an analysis of OSS's operations. It's about the real people that were there, the real heroes behind the lines.
But your book also really shows us what a difficult birth this agency had.
Indeed, it was. It had a hard time competing within the various intelligence communities of its time. For instance, there was ONI, G2, and the State Department, which were all gathering intelligence, but nobody was coordinating it. There was no central clearinghouse. So OSS, or at the time, the precursor was the coordinator of information, was created to act as a clearinghouse. And then a year later, OSS, it went through a name change, mm-hmm. and OSS was born. And basically, what was unique about OSS is not only is it a spy agency, but it's also, it combines everything that the shadow war embodied in it. It had special operations, for instance, psychological operations, counterintelligence, something called research and analysis, where you have like kind of chairborne scholars, people from Yale and Harvard, the best and the brightest, analyzing the raw data to turn it into information. And all these branches are put under one house. In it, which is unique in history, and it's unique in American history. It's one of the most dynamic organizations ever created because of the people in it are just extraordinary.
But do you find people are surprised to learn that we haven't always had an intelligence gathering capability of this kind?
I think there is some surprise because before World War II, gentlemen didn't open other gentlemen's mail. There was this natural aversion to spycraft, and what happened is the British came over and urged us. What's interesting is it was Admiral Godfrey and then also Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, came over and convinced President Roosevelt that something was needed and needed fast, and the OSS was born. But like I said, this book is not about structures or analysis of OSS. Mm-hmm. It's about true stories about the people that were there and real heroes.
Were you surprised at how many of them you were able to find?
Yes, I was. This is the hardest book I've ever tackled because I felt like a detective just going around the country trying to find people, turning over rocks, asking for people, you know, do you know who this person, and, you know, getting a phone number here and there and then burrowing through the archives. I mean, there's 7,500 cubic feet at the National Archives of OSS files, and it's roughly cataloged. So it's like drilling for oil. Every time you go up there, and you know, sometimes you strike it rich, and sometimes you don't get anything at all. But it's like the material that I found is incredible. There is, you know, a lot of this stuff is oral history, but it's also the mission report that was written right after the mission, a month later, in their own words of the agents, and it's smashing. Great rating, really. And the thing is, the oral histories themselves complemented those reports, and then the reports complemented the oral history, so everything was verified.
But you've got guys in here doing things no U.S. citizen of any kind had ever done before, on behalf of the government anyway. There were criminals who may have done some of these things, but
right.
There was nobody whose government said to them, it's okay to go and blow up a railroad bridge. It's okay to get behind enemy lines and steal something. It's okay to break the rules and kill the umpire, you know, playing a Bush League game.
That was one of my favorite quotes. Donovan realized that the Germans had totally outclassed us. He considered them the major leagues. And he said to President Roosevelt, we are going to play a Bush League game. We are going to kill the umpire and steal the ball.
But you do that to win a war.
You do. And I think there's some things that can be learned today from OSS. OSS was built to be an offensive organization, to take the fight to the enemy. And, you know, whereas in many years of its evolution, the CIA is more defensive in its capability, the way it handled other organizations. I think there's a lot that can be learned in terms of the way that OSS was totally an integrated model with special operations, psychological operations, research and analysis, the whole nine yards.
O'Donnell's book is the story not only of skilled, highly intelligent, patriotic Americans who went through grueling training and testing, but also people who had specific skills the OSS needed, even if those skills were occasionally outside traditional boundaries.
They need to crack safes. And where do they go? They bust people out of prison to crack safes. And the classic story that I have there is Cynthia, where her first super spy, basically. In her job, she seduces men in the line of duty. And she, down here on Connecticut Avenue in D.C., they had the Vichy French embassy, and they needed to get inside the embassy to get the cipher books. So she seduced some of the embassy personnel, one man specifically, and they would go there on romantic trysts at night. And they put a few Mickeys in the nightclub, you know, the dog's bowl, water bowl, you know, made it out like they were just going into the room to make love. And then they opened up the window, and then in comes the Georgia cracker, who was recently pulled out of a penitentiary in Georgia, and he cracks the safe. They pull out these Bible-sized books, which are cipher books, spirit them off to a Confederate waiting in an alley. Then they photograph them, and then they get them back into the safe just in the nick of time before everybody shows up for work the next day. And by the way, this is cool for the invasion of North Africa because they got the codes.
Operatives, Spies, and Saboteurs by Patrick O'Donnell is published by the Free Press. With Eye on Books, I'm Bill Thompson.